Hello and welcome to the Women's Cricket South Africa podcast, where we discuss all things cricket. Visit our website, womenscricket.co.za. Women's Cricket South Africa podcast is proudly sponsored by Pitches for Africa. Want multiple teams to practice at the same time but don't have enough space? Pitches for Africa has the solution, bringing mobile pitches to clubs, schools and hubs, making cricket accessible to all. Visit pitchesforafrica.co.za for more information.
Hi and welcome to another episode of Women's Cricket South Africa podcast. Today in studio we have Jenna Sill. Welcome, Jenna.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
How are you doing?
All good, thank you. And you?
Yay. No, I'm all right. I'm so excited because all the way from Dubai, I have my cricket bestie, Shannon London-Creel. Hi, Shannon. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, everybody. Hi, listeners.
Hi. It's so great to have you here on the podcast. You excited to talk cricket today?
Well, I was waiting for my turn. You know, you had Griselda Brits and you had Sean and Robin and, you know, a captain from Wanderers. And now I'm right at the end. But thanks very much. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, you did make it exciting with your quizzes in between. So we're very grateful for that. And there's still many podcasts to come. So, yeah, still lots of things to chat about. I just want to tell you about Shannon. She's teammate at Wanderers. When Wanderers restarted in 2017, she took the bull by the horns and she ran with it. And she made such a big difference in the club and in Gauteng cricket. And we are so grateful for what she has done. Now she's spreading her wings elsewhere and we truly miss her.
Oh, thanks, mate. Appreciate that, man.
Gina, do you miss her?
Yeah, a lot. Shannon, yeah, the listeners will enjoy knowing that we're quite good friends. So I do miss you a lot.
I miss you too, Jay. That's for sure.
Okay, let's talk. Okay, we haven't done a podcast since the World Cup final, since the semi-final with South Africa. Unfortunately, lost against England. And let's go back to the semi-final. Shannon, your input from that game and the unluckiness or the sadness that South Africa couldn't go through to the final?
Well, yeah, I don't know if it was unlucky. I think the English team brought what I expected them to bring. I didn't think they would sit back and let us dominate like we did in the round robin game. I actually had a conversation with Natty Germanis yesterday about the game, and what I didn't know at the time that we had the conversation was that we dropped Danny White 5 times. Now, if you're going to drop a class player like that once, it's pretty much like Herschel Gibbs dropping the World Cup against Australia back then. If the listeners remember that square leg when he dropped one of the brothers, I can't remember which one it was, but everybody says that was dropping the World Cup. I pretty much think we did that 5 times in the semi-final, if that's how many drop catches there were. So, yeah, you got to come to play to win. And I'm not saying the South African team arrived and thought it was going to be a walkover, but at the end of the day, the English brought it more than what we did, and they walked away with the final spot and played Australia.
Yeah, I also think that the law of averages said that Laura Wolfhard wasn't going to score in that game. She'd been doing so well up until that moment, and South Africa had been relying on her to stabilize the batting innings, and she just wasn't able to do that. So I just think that unfortunately, and not by her fault at all, I think a lot of batters could have contributed more than they did, but it just didn't happen for her, and then it didn't happen for the team either. So, yeah, Danny White batted well. She was dropped, as you said, Shan, but, it almost seemed like they started to give up halfway through the second innings, that once the first couple of wickets had fallen, that it was kind of over and people were just going in just to bat. And that was kind of what it felt like watching and commentating that game. So it was a bit disappointing, but I think I can also kind of say it's fine because in all of the group games, so much adrenaline was going through. Every single game was taken to the last over or the last 3 overs. And I think eventually it was bound to happen that we were going to hit a bit of a low. And I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I feel it's unfortunate. You know, I would rather have maybe lost an extra round-robin game and then gone into the semi-final, you know, hyped up again. But again, you know, we'll never know. I mean, these things happen in cricket. This is why we play the game. Is every game is different, regardless of how many times you've played it. But I just think that I think Shabnim arrived. And I mean, Kapi was playing bowling really well, and I think she struggled a little bit in the beginning. And yeah, like you said, you know, other batters could have contributed, and they didn't. But again, that's cricket. That's how it goes. You might feel you're in the right frame of mind, but your hands and your feet speed is not up to par, and you get a beautiful delivery and you go sit down. So yeah, it's unfortunate, but the English played really well, and I think they taught us a lesson in humility. You know, we beat them and then they beat us, and I would rather have lost the first one and won the second one, but it teaches us that we can beat England, we can beat those top teams. And even the round-robin game against Australia, I think we were in it at a certain stage. And, you know, again, I think we just allowed Australia to then dominate, and which a lot of teams do. So I think in the future, we just got to learn to turn those key moments.
Yeah. I just want to know your opinion on this quickly, and you can cut it out if you don't want to put it in, Maddie. But what would you have done with the Lizelle problem? Would you have dropped her after she didn't score in the first couple, or would you have played her throughout?
I think we've been debating Lizelle Lee for a couple of years between the two of us. I think pretty much back, I think it was the Pakistani tour, the last game at Willowmore Park. I think I actually commentated for one sport radio back then. And I then commentated just before the Australian World Cup. Yes, just before the last World Cup in Australia, T20, I said, if Lizelle plays the way she was playing, we would, no problem, we would win the World Cup. Again, I feel that she gets good runs against lower par teams, and then come the big moments, she just doesn't cross the line. And, you know, a good example of someone like that is a guy like Adam Bacher, and I'm sorry I'm referring back to men's cricket, but Adam Bacher was that guy. He could do it at provincial level, but come the big stage, he couldn't do it. Jimmy Cook was the same back in the 90s. Same thing. He just couldn't go over the threshold. And as much as I respect Lizelle, and I know she's been involved in a really long time, I think she's not national material anymore. It's sad, but you have to go with the results, with statistics. And, you know, I think we've also said every six games she makes runs. You can't have that. You've got to have consistency. You've got to have someone like Ming Yong. I know in the beginning of the tournament she was struggling, but if you go back and you look at her games and you see the consistency that the 30s, the 40s she brings to the team, you know, in her slot, and I just feel Lizelle, probably after the first two games, we should have probably said, okay, no, let's change it. Let's bring in Tasman to come in, or bring Laura to come in and do something. But again, I was saying at the whole round-robin stage, we're not bringing in anything new. We went with the same team every single game except one, and I think that was an injury call. And I pretty much think that that no specialist spin was a problem for me. But I've gone off topic. But the Lizelle Lee thing, I think unfortunately she's run a course in the national team.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel Lizelle Lee, if she works harder, she can get back into form. But they went on her stats. She was ICC ODI player of the year previously. Isn't that right?
What do you call? I also think it was tough on her because her son had just been born. And I think she should never have been at the World Cup in the first place, in my opinion. They shouldn't have dragged her away from her family. Obviously, we don't know the inside scoop of whether it was her call to leave her wife and her child at home and to go to the World Cup. But I just, in my opinion, I don't think she should have been there in the first place. And her not scoring would have put her in a worse mood, knowing that, you know, she could have been at home in the first couple of weeks of her son's life. So yeah, that's just my opinion, and Yeah, obviously we don't know the inside stuff, but...
Let's just go back a little bit to... sorry to say this, but the preparation for Tanya and Lizelle to have a child is it's not a, oh, oops, that's not how it happens. It's a planned thing.
Yeah.
So planning-wise, again, yes, background, we don't know, but Lizelle Lee's been in the plans, not last year, she's been in the plans for the last 5 years since the 2017 World Cup. So it was always the plan to take her to the next one, whether it was 4 or 5 years after the 2017. So those plans have been there, but if we go and look at consistency, I think that's what's been lacking. Yes, she's made big hundreds, don't get me wrong, but would you rather have a player making 100 runs every 6 games, or do you want a player making 50 runs every game? And that ultimately is for me.
For sure.
Yeah, you want the consistency, you want your opening pair to score your 80, 90 for zero at your 16 overs at the 50 over World Cup. That's what you want. And you don't want to apply any more pressure onto Laura as it is. You know, you want her to have that free flow. Let her get into the game. And yes, Lizelle can get us the start, but I think there's other players that can do it as well. And that brings me to the number three spot, is our consistency at number three. I think that was a big problem for us at the World Cup as well. So, I mean, I'm going
to...
Let me pose it to Jenna. Jenna, what do you think? Do you think that... we should say to Laura or Taz or Andre and say, listen, one of the three of you, we're going to give it to you, and we're going to give it to you for the next 2 years.
Okay. So my opinion on that number three role is a little bit different. It's if you just look at the other teams, who is batting at number three? And I'm going to take the top two teams, England and Australia, because they made it to the final. And the players who bat in that number three position are Meg Lanning and Heather Knight. And senior batters in that crucial position, which has to either, number three is so important, because if you lose that wicket up front, you have to play as an opening batter. But if there's a base for you to build up, or to build on, you then have to almost play as a middle order batter. So it's such a versatile role, and I think it's a role that players grow into. So I would have said, okay, and obviously not possible because Andre was not in the playing part of the squad.
Which I just want to note is a crucial mistake by South Africa, but let's not say anything.
Yes, 100%. I'm a big fan. So I would have then gone Andre and Laura to open and then taken Taz and given her a middle order position, because I don't believe that Taz has the temperament at that level to bat at a decent strike rate without the mentorship of another senior batter with her. Because from my experience of Taz, is she's someone who needs to be nurtured while she's batting. She needs to be like told, you're doing well, keep going, you know, that kind of thing. And at that level, I don't believe in the Proteas team that there's any batter there who's able to do that for her. Because that's not the type of person that Laura is. Maybe Andre would be able to do it. So I would have then taken Taz out and putting her in like a number six position and said to Mignon or Trisha, go bat number three, because you have experience batting at the top of the order. Why are you wasting your time down there in the middle where that's not really like the kind of place where a crucial batter is needed? Because you need big runs there, and these players are like strike rotators. So send Trisha up there and say to her, you've done it before previously in your career. We need you to do it again for this short period of the World Cup. Go and do that. And that's what I think was lacking in the batting order, was that senior batter in that number three position.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, the senior batter. Trisha, not my choice. I know she's been again in the setup. I think she's the longest in the setup out of the entire squad at the moment. I just don't believe she's the person. I think 2017, I think her average was only like 20, 21 anyway. And she was batting at that slot. And she couldn't do it then, and I don't believe that, you know, she could do it again for us. But I think Sinead would probably be, for me, maybe the person to put in there. Again, the problem is we don't have consistency. We have to really say to someone, it's yours for 2 years. You go out, you go out. It's cool. It's no worries. I won't take it from you. And I think the problem has been, we haven't said that to somebody. Right. So, Andrew Stone, I just feel that if we could give her that slot and just say, Andrew, 2 years, it's yours, doesn't matter what happens. You go out for ducks, 3 ducks in a row, it's all good. It's yours for 2 years. We have a World Cup coming in 2025. That's 3.5 years from now. So let's just leave her there. We know she has the talent. We know she has the temperament. Give it to her and say, it's yours. I mean, if you look at players like Rachel Haynes, Rachel Haynes is 36 years old. Look at the cricket she's playing. So I'm a firm believer that the longer we leave them and support them, the better they're going to become. So just leave them.
Yeah. And I think a prime example of like leaving a player to grow is Jameela Sheikhji from the Central Gauteng Lions. We actually want to have her on the podcast, and I'm pretty sure she'll do it soon. But she's like peaking. She's making her peak career now, and she's bowling unbelievably well for her team. Like her economy and her wicket taking ability is unbelievable. She's the best bowler, I believe, at provincial setup, the best opening pace bowler. And we just have to take that and understand that players, yeah, maybe they're not young and whatever, but they are peaking, and we need to select them on that and not on what, like, you know. So
how old is she now?
32.
Oh, sure. She looks younger. Never knew Jams is so old.
Yeah, and she says that she still has 5 years in her. And, I mean, we're friends, so, like, I'm a little bit biased on that part of it, but people like that who are peaking need to be selected.
I totally agree. I don't think age in the women's game needs to be a problem. I think fitness is an issue. And I think there are currently players in our setup that there is an issue there. But I think we should take age out completely. I think, let's take Cuppy. If Cuppy can continue another 4 years, if her health holds out, why not select her? You know, she's still one of the top players. She's been a top player for 10, 12 years now. Leave her. Let her, you know, stay in the game. Bring in the Nadine de Klerks. You know, let them learn from her. Pretty much what they did with Alyssa Healy. You know, a couple of years ago, she was going to retire. Can you believe it? Having a player like that just out of the game. She's, 32, 33 now. I mean, look at the cricket that woman is playing. Leave her, let her play until she breaks her leg and she can't play anymore. Whatever.
You know, I think with provincial cricket growing, with more girls playing it, it does get hard. But I do feel that the provincial side, the coaches and so on, tend to throw away the older players and not give them chances anymore. Because here's the youngster looking promising. And I want to give that youngster all the chances to get to build up. So how do we overcome that? How do we guide provincial cricket on doing things better?
I think there's like a missing middle. I think there should be, yeah, we have these wonderful pipeline setups of from under 13 through to under 19 level, but then there's straight into from under 19 level into senior provincial cricket. And I feel like, yes, that's great because you want those senior players, and when the SA team is here, to filter into that senior provincial cricket. But the young players who are then missing out from that, who come straight out of high school and then drop out of cricket because they either going on to study something else, they start working, because there's nothing that cricket is offering them if they're not ready to step into that senior provincial level straight out of high school. And I think there should be something like under 21, even under 23 or under 25 cricket, to say, let's give these players, this group of players at this age, a chance to train and to play cricket at a level that is going to make them improve. Because I feel like a lot of senior provincial cricket is like laxy-daisy. And it's like, oh, we just come to practice and maybe we'll learn something, maybe we won't. And we might not even get better at what we're trying to do because we know we have a spot in the team because, well, we do. And I just feel like there's that missing gap where between under 19 level cricket and senior provincial.
I totally agree. And that's been a long-term thing. It's not even a new thing. It existed many moons ago when I still played provincial cricket. And the problem is with that is the foundation. We don't have a proper foundation. And that stems let's talk about Australian dominance. I think, Maddie, that was one of your topics you wanted to bring up in the podcast tonight.
Yes.
If you can just allow me to divert quickly. I had a quick look at New South Wales setup earlier today. And I just quickly popped onto their website and had a look-see there at what they're doing. I mean, they've got, firstly, a 7 to 10-year-old group, okay, for girls and boys to play cricket at whatever skill level. Then you've got masters, okay, which is the ones with the better abilities. Then you've got junior club cricket from 9 years to 18 years. Then you've got club cricket from there. There are 100 cricket clubs with girls teams in New South Wales. 100 plus. That was in 2019. And every year they're growing between 20 and 25%. Can you imagine if we had that infrastructure in this country? And that is where the fundamental problem is in our cricket structures. We don't have that build-up from that age group, from under 11, coming through your schools, coming through to high school. I mean, Jay, how many girls' teams are in high school, in your league at high school?
Between 8 and 12, there aren't that many.
I mean, 8 to 12 teams. I mean, we're not going to build any provincial cricket from under 19 to senior with that amount of teams. We have to triple that, quadruple that. And that's really where our provincial cricket is failing, is that we're not getting our unions to build at that level, because if you don't have competition at that level to push your under 19, to push your 20, 25-year-olds to say, listen, we're going to push you out because here come the youngsters. You know, if we don't have that, of course it's going to be girls going to be lackadaisy. Well, I'm in the team, no worries. You know, no one's going to challenge me. So I'll try and practice once in a while, and I'm still going to play provincially.
Yeah.
And therein lies the problem.
Yeah, I feel also with the, I think the KFC mini cricket, when it comes to girls, when they focus just on the girls, they only focus on 11 to 13. But it was said they need to bring, if it's a school of 1,000 kids and 500 are girls, still 500 should be girls on the mini cricket, and not just like 10 girls in between the 500 boys. So it needs to start root level, right down. Need to start focusing on those kids from 7 year old.
Absolutely.
I also think that with the publicity that this World Cup has brought in South Africa, yes, we did get to the semi-final. So we have to keep that in mind and say, we did get to the semi-final. We did reasonably well to get there. And the attraction and things that people are seeing, like, the girls at school that I'm coaching are saying, "Yo, coach, we woke up at 3 a.m. to watch the games," you know. And for me, that is so important to say, yes, we didn't win against England in the semi-final, but it created, like, a sense of unity in the country. And maybe this was, like, the platform for girls to see, okay, there is a path for us here. And, I mean, it is getting better. There are more ways coming out where you can earn not a living, but it's getting there, because provincial players are now being paid to play cricket. And yeah, it's a small start, but it's a start. And if we can get it right to get more girls to know about the girls' game of cricket, then it's going to be so much better. So yeah.
I totally agree. The more exposure we get out there, the better it is for everyone. So again, this is how Australian cricket became so dominant. The women used to play before the men played. So then they got TV time. Then they moved away from that and they played on their own fields. And they started getting crowds. Then the WBBL was born from the BBL. And so that infrastructure, that foundation spread. And now look at how they dominate. Okay, they dominated back then, but that's because their club cricket has been around for much longer than anybody else throughout the world. But if you have a competition where players are seen and they are accessible, because I think that is very important, we've got to get our Kappies and our Fanikaks and our Sunays, our Minxes out there, get them in front of the young girls, expose them to these girls and say, you know, this is who you can be, this is who you can look up to. And enough with AB de Villiers is my favorite player. We need them to start saying, like your girls, Jenna, is that, you know, I was watching, and I was watching from 3 o'clock in the morning. That's the either passion we want to ignite into these girls. So again, if use the platform that has been created by the Momentum Proteas and build on it, and that is CSA's job. They have to do that.
Yeah, and we have the opportunity. We got the T20 World Cup next year, and now we've been appointed the first ever under 19 Women World Cup for the T20. So we have the space. We just need the government, CSA, everybody to put money behind it. We shouldn't be waiting for corporates to come and put money behind it. It should be coming from CSA, from Department of Sport. They should step up and say, okay, let's throw more budget that way. Let's put more infrastructure in place.
It's going to become an Olympic sport, cricket, because if the Commonwealth Games are trialing it now this year, it's going to move towards the Olympics, and we should not wait until that. We have the players now that could ignite the passion throughout the country, and we do have people that want to do it. So, like you said, Maddie, put the money there, invest in it. And even if they just invest in the under-16s, you know, not any further, but that age group, because in 3 years' time, that's your next under-19s. After that, it's your next Protea Momentum team. So, yeah, money, 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 money. Put it where it should be.
Yeah, and it has started. I think we saw at the end of last year in December that the under-16 week for the first time in South Africa was a national week. And I think that was a good start, not big enough, but a good start. And in previous years, it was only at the 19 level that was national, and under 16 and 13 was all regional camps. So I think it's a good start, yeah, but it just needs to keep growing and keep getting more support.
Jenna, Maddie, what do you guys think if we took the under 16, right, all the under 16 players in the country, and did a super league like they do with the women's teams? Put all those really good players together, put in one or two mentors from, you know, senior teams, and expose them that way. What do you feel that would do for cricket in South Africa?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, but Cricket South Africa can't even get the next Women's Super League going. So I do think, and we're just talking about it, at senior level, we can't even get that Super League going. So yes, it's great to have all these wonderful ideas to like help the youth get that under 16 level going. But yeah, we small steps, and I suppose with the management and the teams that we have at Cricket South Africa, it's asking a little bit much.
So we still first need to get the seniors right, then we can focus on the 19s, then we can go to under 16s.
Because there was talk about the WSL happening just after, like now, in April, and nothing has happened. So if they can't even get that together, then, you know, come on.
It's such a pity, because we had this amazing World Cup to build from, you know, two World Cups in a matter of 8 months. I mean, it's such a huge platform that we can use, and we can grow the game in the country. Yeah, I just wish there were more people up there at the top of CSA. I'm pretty sure there are people. I mean, you know, there must be people driving the process. It's just taking the guys that make the decision a little bit long to move forward and to say this is what we're going to do and tell the rest of the country. I mean, I don't know if you've seen on TV, sorry, Matt, that there is any advertising for the World Cup yet.
Yeah, nothing yet.
Nothing. Well, I've asked. They usually start about 6 months beforehand where they get venues and appoint management and all the so on to run with it. So we're still early days, so it should happen any time now. What I wanted to say, okay, so at the press conference when the Proteas arrived back, there were a lot of people making a lot of promises. So at the higher level at CSA, they have all these ideas and what should happen. Now to get that filtered down to, I think, provinces or those who manage the provinces and so on, I think that's where it's breaking, where it's not going further at the moment. That's probably what I think. I don't know.
I have no idea.
We're not in those power positions, we can't say.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we're not in those power positions because we have the love for the game. And I'm not sure, maybe, you know, they have to relook at that structure and see where they can can put people in key positions. If you look at the Australian and England, Claire Connor, Belinda Clark, you can't get any more passionate about the game. Those two have just, I mean, they've played at high levels for a long time, and they were instrumental and pioneers in women's cricket throughout the world. And maybe they should get the likes of those people into this country, bring them here and say, what did you do? Can you guide us? And I think that's something that's missing. I think you need specifically one person up at the top only looking at how they can grow women's cricket. And that is the only focus. I think, as far as I know, there's a lot of people in positions at provincial cricket as well that are too diverse. It's too many sort of arms into one person. And again, the message is lost when that happens. So if they wanted to grow and grow quickly, put one person in charge. Then you're going to see movement. But again, Maddie, like you say, we're not in those positions, so we're not sure what's going on.
No. Okay, let's talk about, we got to get excited about the under-19s.
So, yeah, let's do it.
Let's talk. Okay, so they were at the provincial under-16s and under-19. They were selectors there. They selected, I think, 72 players. And then it was phased down to, I don't know, like
36.
Mm-hmm. Like then they had three teams from that. And then from those three teams, they selected 24 players. That is part of the TAP at the moment. And I hope Dinesha Devnarain, the head coach of the under-19s, are working on them and getting those girls ready for the World Cup.
I just want to say, firstly, they've got the right person to coach. I mean, Dee is fantastic. I think she has a good understanding of what is required at that level, and she's played at a high level as well. And I think really they could not have selected a better person to fulfill that position. I know at one stage she was earmarked to be a national coach of the Protea Momentums, but I really feel that the one decision CSA made right in my eyes was to make her the under-19 and emerging coach. So, yeah, kudos to them. I think from there, thank you, Maddie, for sending me the list. I can see the list. I think there's some really good players. Jenna, you probably have a better background on these girls than I do.
Okay, Jenna, you know all these girls. Give us who, from these 24 girls, who do you think is going to get selected? Or what do you want to say beforehand?
No. So a lot of these girls are players that I don't necessarily know. So it's difficult for me to pick players that I've never played against or never seen play, because they're playing in cricket that I don't know, which would be bottom league, not in the top six. So a lot of these players that I'm going to talk about now who I think are really great are players who are playing senior provincial cricket in the top six senior provincial league. So in this 24 list, they only have two wicketkeepers, which for me is worrying, because when you go to 24, I think should have three or four so that you can select. And right now in the next tap camp, there are only two going, which means those two will probably both be selected. One Karabo Meso from CGL and the other one Simone Lawrence from Northerns. And I do understand that Simone is really good. So Simone Lawrence at Northerns is being coached by Jolene. And from what I can understand, what I've heard is she's a very good keeper. She's got very good hands. Her feet are really good. And I think she is a very good option to have in that squad going into that under-19 World Cup. I don't know much about her batting. But then Karabo Meso gives us that batting option, and she has proven at under-16 level that she can score runs and that she can hold herself at senior provincial level. And she's young. I think she's in grade 9, so she's probably 15. And she, I think, is quite bright for South African cricket in the future.
You heard it here, everybody. Remember Karabo Meso.
Yeah, so if they look after her and they groom her well and keep helping her and keep giving her the tools that she needs to improve and grow her game and herself, which they are doing. She has a scholarship at Stain City School, and I think that they are doing the right things for her to make sure that she grows and keeps improving. So I did put a little bit of my 15-player squad together for the Under-19 World Cup. As I said, these are only the players that I know of that are good. So obviously some changes. But I would definitely go the top four being Karabo Meso, Ilandri Janssen van Rensburg from Northwest. She opens the batting for Northwest in their senior provincial team. A big girl, she can hit the ball far, and I think she's a really good attacking option up front with Karabo. And then that number three position, I'd go between Kayla Reinicker from Western Province, top order bat. She's also physically big, and she's able to hold herself well, I think. And then Annika Swart from Northwest would also be in that top four. She's a good little batter, very good at rotating the strike, quick between the wickets, and that's somebody I definitely want in the team. She's good in the field. She's got very good hands. She stands at gully for Northwest in senior provincial level, and I think she's just a good energy to have on the field. Then that number five position, now we're coming into like a all-rounder type of positions, five, six, seven. I'd definitely go with a spin option, Madison Landsman from Easton's. Quality, she's proven at...
Your teammate.
Yeah, and she's a lovely girl. She's in matric now, so she is 18. And I definitely think she also has a bright future in the Proteas setup. She bowls leg spin, but she's good with the bat as well. She is a batting all-rounder, so a very good option at that number five position. And then... Seshni Naidu, I would put in there. She also bowls leg spin. She's from KZN Coastal. Good leg spin bowler, good control. But at that number six position, maybe put her at number seven and put Jenna Evans from Central Gauteng Lions in that number six position. Also, both all-rounders, batting all-rounders, and good rotators of the strike, can also hit the ball far and hit the ball cleanly, both of them. And then there is talk of this player that I'm going to talk about now, Olukle Sio. And you guys know her, she plays at the Wanderers.
She did play, yes.
And she, I think, is there's a lot of talk about her leading this under 19 team, which I think is interesting, but I have never played in the same team as her. I don't really know her that well, so it is possible that she could be a potential leader for this team.
I think when she joined Wanderers, she was quite young. She's quality. I mean, she's going to be, like you said earlier, Genevieve, they look after, you know, Karabo, and they look after her. She's going to give longevity, and especially if we're looking at, you know, Shabnim and Kapi and Masabata Klaas coming out at some stage over the next couple of years, I definitely feel she's going to be up there very quickly when it happens.
The only thing that kind of worries me about Olu is that she's very injury prone.
Those knees.
Her knees and her back sometimes. So that does worry me a little bit. But if they look after her and they give her the correct physio treatment, rehab, prehab, that kind of thing, then I do think she is one of the powerhouse players in the Center 19 setup.
For sure.
And then a bowler that I really like from Northwest is Ntabiseng Nini. And she, very good seam bowler. In swing and out swing, she has wonderful control. She's almost like a Khloni Sadik from Gauteng. She's decent pace. She has a slower ball. She can bowl variations. And she's so consistent in her bowling at senior provincial level that she is definitely someone that I would enjoy having in this team. Good energy on the field, good in the field, quick between the wickets. She can bat a little bit as well. She bats in the middle order at Northwest sometimes. That's how they're growing their players, by popping those lower order batters into the middle order to give them exposure. And I think that's something that Northwest does so well at senior provincial level. We saw Masabata Klaas batting at four for them in the bubble that we played at St. Stithians, and she scored, I think, 70 odd against us. So they are giving their bowlers opportunities in that middle order, in the top order even sometimes, to grow their batting and to become all-rounders at provincial level. Okay, and then another player that I really enjoy playing against is Sisanda Ngobane from KZN Coastal. She bowls off-spin, very good, I think, a lot of control, and she also adds...
Is this the one with the weird action?
Yes, the one that you looked up her action, Jean.
That could be called at the World Cup, but okay. Let's leave that out.
Okay. Okay, cool. And then another bowler that outshone all of the seam bowlers at the Under-19 week in December is Rufilwe Munchu from Central Gauteng Lions. And I do think that she has potential problems also with injuries, fitness, that kind of thing. But She definitely was by far the best opening bowler at the under 19 week in December. So I would probably put her in that 11. And then obviously on the bench, I would have that wicketkeeper, Simone Lawrence, and then there's a bowler, Ayanda Khlubi from KZN Coastal. Seam bowler, she's pretty good. She could replace any of the seamers in that team. Sarah Barber from KZN, she offers something with the bat. And then that number 15 position, I would put a youngster in. And maybe this is a little bit biased because I coach her at school level, but Kaylee van Rooyen, I think, is up and coming. She's made everything that she's achieved by herself. And she's used what she has, and she really has come into herself. She's a really wonderful person. She's good in the field. She's good with the bat, good with the ball, and I think she's definitely someone to look out for. Another person that I would then interchange there, a youngster, Diara Ramlakhan from, she plays at Randburg. She's from Central Gauteng Lions, and I also think she's also one of the up-and-coming under-16s to help grow and give exposure at that under-19 level. So for me, that would be the squad going to the under-19 level. Obviously, anything could change with the players that I don't know from other teams, but...
Yeah, it's a pretty decent team there, Jenna. I think most of these girls I've seen as well, maybe not live, but I've definitely watched them on YouTube. And yeah, I think you've got a great mix of strength, classic, spin options, some good pace bowling. And yeah, let's hope that these girls stay fit and they do the hard work, because just because you're selected doesn't mean you're going to stay in the setup. You've got to work hard at it. And they also got to remember who they're going to come up against. I mean, if you look at some of the under-19 players that Australia and England are producing, and even India, we're going to definitely face some top-class players. But it's exciting. Yeah. Under-19 for the first time, you know, it's at home. It's just before the World Cup, T20 World Cup. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better year's cricket, that's for sure.
Don't you wish you left here now?
Stop it.
Sorry, I like to tease my friend because we do miss her.
Okay. I'll be home in February for the T20, okay? We the three of us are road tripping for the podcast.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. Where do you think they're going to have all the games? All across at all the main stadiums?
Listen, as long as they don't do it in Kimberley, and in East London, I'll be happy. I'll prefer Wanderers Supersport Willamore. I think that would be probably the best bet. I really don't think travelling-wise it would be good, because COVID is still around. I think we should keep the players, you know, centralised. And, you know, the more we expose them to travel, the worse it becomes. So I definitely think
so they all stay in Joburg, find a nice hotel, that is their little bubble, and they go out to one of the three stadiums around us.
Yeah, it's so much easier to do it that way, but who knows? It's up to CSA what they will do, and obviously ICC. But hopefully we catch some warm-up games at the clubs. Maybe Wanderers can have a couple of warm-up games. You know, maybe Australia, England, or that would be really cool for the club, and to get members to come and watch as well. So, yeah.
Exciting times ahead. 2023. I thought 2022 is going to be the year, but it seems like 2023 is going to be the year. Okay, we're getting ready to have another awesome year.
Absolutely.
Let's quickly talk about the cricket that's coming. The Proteas are on a break, recuperating. Some people are on the beach.
In the Maldives, baby.
Yeah.
And I'm sure others are just taking a chill because, you know, probably not even running, just chilling and having a break from all things sport. So some people will be going to the fair break tournament, probably a couple. And then
are you jealous? Are you jealous? Ha, ha, ha. I'm going to go watch some games in Dubai. You're in.
enjoy it. So next podcast, please let us know which team you're supporting. I will always be supporting the team where Minx are.
You're supporting the Warriors because she's in the Warriors team.
The Warriors all the way. Okay, and then the Proteas are off to Ireland for a tour. Are we going to see different players going there? Are we going to see the World Cup squad going there? What is your prediction for the long England-UK tour?
Well, I think they're going to definitely have to travel with some backup. And I'm hoping that, you know, they start to give the likes of Andre, Nadine. And you know who else I want to see play? I want to see Delmi Tucker into the setup. You know,
same
I've watched
girl.
Her now. You agree, Jenna?
Yeah.
I mean, she's like playing same some girl. Good cricket.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they really need to start moving towards 2025. And a girl like that, you bring in the setup like Nadine. Nadine was in the 2017 setup. And, you know, look at how she's grown. I think you do the same with a girl like Delmi Tucker. And she's only going to give you 110% every single time you give her that jersey. So, yeah, other than that, I mean, we know Minx is now obviously retired from ODIs. That will open up number 5, 6 slot. It'll be interesting who they put there. Probably the likes of Nadine. And T20, they'll definitely try keep the same squad. I don't think they're going to change much. Hopefully, if they put a bit better spin. I think, not better spin, I mustn't say it like that. I think Nonkululeko or Nondimisu, they also need to get their shot. I mean, really. Nonkululeko, I think she's 21 or 22. I mean, she's got so much time to learn her craft. You know, put her in, let her play. And again, let her play. You know, it works the same way for bowlers. Give her the ball and say, you will play every T20 between now and the World Cup. Perfect your art.
Okay, let's talk about, you did mention now Minx retiring. Was it the right time for her to hang up the boots for the ODIs? Did she have more in her? Or is it a good decision from her personal life or the way she wants to go?
I think it's a very sad day for South African cricket that she's retired. But luckily it's only 50%. You know, we're still going to have her for the T20. And I think, Maddie, I think yes. I think it's the right time for her. She could go on forever. She could. She could be playing when she's 45. She's that fit. She's that eager. You know, I would keep until she's 60 and pushing up the daisies. But you know what? Yeah, she's been there for so long, and you know she's all about others. That's her personality. So I'm sure she took a long time to make the decision. Home World Cup, last time to play in front of family and friends. You know, her and her hubby definitely want to start a family. So you know, why not stop playing ODIs, no Test cricket, and then just focus on the one where she will make money, because she's also got the 100 that she'll play. She'll play WBBL. So you know, give her this last year to then play, and then I'm pretty sure after the 2023 World Cup that she will call the end of her playing career for sure. But let's have little Minxies running around. It'd be so cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, I also agree that it is definitely the right time for her, and obviously it was a personal decision, and I 100% support and agree with that decision.
Yeah, it's nice if you can go out on your own terms. Mm. Thank you, girls. Next podcast, I'm going to have some talks about action cricket for the ladies. And yeah, just see how it is going in South Africa. I know not everyone is keen on action cricket, but it's a nice game. And yeah, I'm going to have Arusha here in studio to talk about that. And then we'll soon talk about the fair break. And once we know all the teams, we'll narrow it down and we hopefully get someone in to talk more about that. And Shannon, we really love your input, always. Jenna, love listening to you on One World Sports.
I want to add one thing quickly.
Yes.
Sorry. The promotion game, Free State against SWD, happened last week.
We didn't cover it. Okay, wait, let's go.
Okay. The promotion game, SWD against Free State, happened on Saturday
at the Wanderers Stadium. Yes.
And SWD, for the first time ever, will be playing top 6 cricket next season under the leadership of Martelis. And I think it's wonderful for them to get exposed to this high level of provincial cricket.
It's also exciting for those players to go play in Oudtshoorn or in George. The southwestern districts are really good at what they do. The provincial sides are organized. And it showed now with the women's cricket. I'm so happy for them.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, well, Jenna, you know, I'm sorry about Easterns and, you know, falling out of the top six. I'm sure if it was in your power, you would have tried to prevent that. Yes, like you say, it's awesome for SWD and of course, Smarty that moved from the Titans and moved down to Southwest District. I think it's great for them to have taken someone like her and put her into the setup, and there's an immediate impact from her being there. So, yeah, absolutely, it's great first time that they're going to be there. And hopefully they can, you know, the next season or two seasons, they can knock out some of the bigger guys and stay. And, you know, Easterns can then win top, you know, of the Pool A and get back into top six. So, yeah, good luck for your next season.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll hold our thumbs for Easterns. Unless you want to go play club cricket in the UK.
I'm still studying, so not really an option right now, but okay, potentially in the future.
Perfect. Okay, girls, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Shannon, and you look like you want to say more. Okay, one last thing.
Just one last thing. You were mentioning about action cricket or indoor cricket. It's a great sport. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a lot faster than outdoor 50 overs, 20 overs. It's 1 hour and 20 minutes for a game normally. So if those listeners want to go out and play action cricket, indoor cricket, go and play. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's all about having fun in the off season. Yeah, Jenna's not sure. She's smirking next to me.
Yeah, I might. Yeah, I might play.
No, Jenna's going to go play. She's going to come play for you, Maddie.
Jenna, want to come join the game?
Yeah.
I'll stand on the side with pawns because I haven't been scoring much in action cricket.
Okay.
It's a date.
And why is that, Maddie? Because you don't run.
No, I've gotten a bit overweight, love. I run very slow.
This is what I'm saying. You're running slow, Maddie. I'm a lot overweight, but I still get in, okay?
No, it's all about communication with your teammate. And me and Karen at Action Cricket, we lack that communication quite a lot. That's why they put us against the lowest skin, and we go and try and beat that.
What was your lowest skin?
7.
Minus 2. Did you still get your skin? No.
No. Okay, we'll talk next time about action cricket. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time. Thank you all so much.
Thank you for listening to the Women's Cricket South Africa podcast. Please find us on our website, womenscricket.co.za, and Women's Cricket South Africa on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and wherever you get your podcasts. Catch you in the next episode, and we're out.